Okay, I'm so nervous because my baby was playing piano. I forgot my sermon. Okay. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Then Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." But they understood nothing about all these things. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Then he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God, and all the people when they saw it, and all the people when they saw it praised God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. In today's Gospel reading, we're continuing to journey with Jesus towards Jerusalem. Jesus has been traveling with the 12 and with a whole crowd of people that have been following him for quite a while now, heading towards Jerusalem, telling parables and stories and teaching along the way. So here in today's reading, Jesus stops and pulls the 12 aside and gives them a little bit of special information. And he makes the third passion prediction in the Gospel of Luke. And this one is the most detailed. Jesus really gets down to the nitty-gritty of what exactly it is that they're journeying towards. And the disciples don't get it. They do not understand. They can't wrap their brains around this terrible thing Jesus is telling them. It's not what they expected. It's not what they understood a Messiah to be, and it's certainly not what they wanted. So Jesus is trying to reveal this to them, and yet they are essentially blind to what is being shown them. And so then Luke butts that story up against the healing of the blind man. Not real subtle. So this man now not only recognizes Jesus for who he is and what he can do, but then has his eyes literally opened and his sight restored so that he can see. And he then goes on to proclaim what God has done and allow others around him to see as well. So we have this symbolism that highlights the blindness of the disciples, but it also serves as foreshadowing in the story because they too will have their eyes open. Jesus will also open their eyes and their hearts to be able to see after the resurrection. All of this happens as they're journeying towards Jerusalem, towards the cross, and this little stop is the last one along the way before we reach Palm Sunday. And that now is where we get the story of Zacchaeus. And I know Pastor Jim was pretty jealous that I got the Zacchaeus story. And it really is a cool story. And it's especially cool when you hear it right next to that more difficult story that he wrestled with last week of the rich man and Lazarus. Because the rich man and Lazarus, that story really follows the script of what Luke's been doing all along up to this point, this pattern that Luke has laid out for us with regards to how the rich are portrayed. It's a theme in Luke that wealth is an obstacle of faith, that wealth becomes the priority of our hearts, and so therefore gets in the way of our hearts being able to receive the gospel. In Luke, we have the rich farmer, who's called a fool by God, the rich man from last week who ends up in Hades and seems completely unable to learn or to change and is forever separated from God by this huge chasm of his own creating. And we also have the story of the rich young ruler who Jesus mourns over, and after which Jesus makes the observation of how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. That is the theme that Luke presents over and over again, and that's the context in which we receive the Zacchaeus story, who at the very beginning is introduced to us with these words: he was a chief tax collector and was rich. That's the description. It's sort of a nudge, nudge, wink, wink. We all know what that means, right? He's tipping us off as the reader of what we can expect. We know how this story is going to turn out now. If we hadn't already heard it before, we would think we knew that Zacchaeus is going to be hard-hearted. He's going to be completely unreceptive to Jesus and unable to hear the gospel message. But Luke is the king of reversal stories. And so instead of getting what we've been set up to expect, we get a complete switcheroo. And Zacchaeus actually is this eager, childlike character who runs and climbs a tree because he's so eager to see Jesus. So that expectation gets thwarted right off the bat. We have this man of status who should, by social standards, be behaving in a very honorable and dignified way, and who, by Luke's themes that we've been given all along, should be closed-hearted to what Jesus brings. But instead, he makes a fool of himself in public. He behaves like a child running and climbing a tree. And then when Jesus comes and calls him down, he is so eager and so moved by what Jesus has to say to him that his heart is completely changed. And his repentance is immediate and dramatic. Zacchaeus promises to give half of his possessions to the poor and basically fix everything he's done wrong, but more so, he goes above and beyond and promises not to wrong people in that way in the future. It's this dramatic reversal story where we least expect it. And then the story ends with this beautiful message of good news. Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. There is so much good news in these two little verses, and it is such wonderful and amazingly good news. First of all, today, salvation has come to this house. Luke loves that word, today. He uses it more than any of the other gospel writers. And he uses it to emphasize that the work God is doing is now. The salvation promised is coming today. It's not some future hoped for pie in the sky change that's going to happen. This change is happening. Salvation is coming, and God is at work today. And then Jesus says the beautiful words that Zacchaeus too is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus, who has been outcast because of his own actions. Remember, he's basically a traitor. He has been working for the oppressor. He has been participating in the oppression of his own people and profiting from it. So he has become an outcast because of that behavior. And yet Jesus says he too is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus too is part of the covenant community. Jesus is including him. Jesus is honoring and valuing him by going to his house, but also by naming him as a son of Abraham. Jesus is extending God's love, that promise of the covenant, even to Zacchaeus. Remember now, even though Zacchaeus ran like a child and eagerly climbed a tree, it was Jesus who came and sought him out, who called him down, and then basically invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. So the initiative here is not from Zacchaeus. It's from Jesus. Jesus sought out the traitor. Jesus sought out the rich man. Jesus sought out the one who we had been led to believe was a lost cause. And instead, Jesus honors him, loves him. And Zacchaeus' heart is changed. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. That verse connects the Zacchaeus story to all those other parables we've heard, all those other stories about the lost being found, the coin being sought out, the sheep who had wandered off, the lost sons, all those stories of the lost being found. Zacchaeus is just one more of those stories. But it's different in that it breaks open our idea and our understanding of what it means to be lost. Because I think those other stories bring to mind people who have not been valued. The one coin next to the nine is of little value. The world doesn't think much of it, but God does. Or the outcast, the one sheep that has wandered off, whether because of its own actions or of being a sinner, or because they've been cast out by the community, by the society as a leper. Whatever it is, that who is who Jesus has shown that God seeks out and finds. So those stories bring to mind for me the poor, the widow, the leper, the social outcasts. But in this story, it's someone powerful, someone rich, not someone we generally think of when we think of the lost being found. And I think this is a challenge for us, one that we need to hear. That whenever we think we know who is written off, who is a lost cause, whenever we think we know who isn't worth the time or who will never change. Zacchaeus' story reminds us that that is exactly who God seeks out. Whenever we think we know that they aren't worth the trouble, or that they are somehow on the outside of what God is doing, well, then they are exactly who God seeks out. This is a challenge to all of our prejudices and assumptions. Whenever we demonize any person or any group, no matter how wrong we know them to be, whenever we write off anyone, it is a guarantee that God is seeking them out and loving them. This is a challenge to all of our prejudices and assumptions. But it is also such amazingly good news for each and every one of us, because this idea of who is lost, it applies to all of us. There are so many different ways to be lost. I sat down and I made a list, and I filled a whole sheet just based on my own experience of being lost. And I'm sure each of you could make your own list. There are so many ways. We can be lost because we wandered off, made bad choices, damaged ourselves or our relationships. We can be lost because we've become so inward focused, so dependent on ourselves, whether it's on our wealth, our bank account, or our own abilities, our own resilience. We can become so dependent on ourselves that we forget how to trust in others or how to trust in God. We can be lost because we don't know who we are or what we're meant to be doing in this world. We can be lost because anger or cynicism or despair have blinded us to what it is God is doing in our lives, in our world. The list goes on, and we each have our own lists of ways that we can become lost. So the good news is that God comes to seek out and save the lost. The good news is that we can never become so lost that God cannot find us. No matter how lost you might feel today, know that God is seeking you out today. Not in some far distant future. God is here seeking you out today, right now, this very moment. God is calling to you. God is calling to you today, calling you by name, so that you can be reminded of who you are and that you are part of the community, part of God's family, and that you are loved. See, that is how repentance happens. Not because we are so good or so willing or so eager or so able to change. Repentance happens because God never stops looking for us. No matter how lost we get, none of us ever a lost cause or not worth the effort. All of these stories about the lost being found, they tell us about God's love. They tell us about God's ability to find us and to bring us back into community. God's ability to name us again and again and again and remind us of who we are and whose we are. And that is what leads to repentance. God who never stops looking for us. God who never stops calling to us. No matter how many times we get lost, no matter how unsure we are of which way to go, God never stops seeking us, calling us towards life, towards community, and towards love. Thanks be to God. Amen.